Karis, that was absolutely, it was just beautiful. It's hard to get up here and not cry after hearing that. If the nerves kill me from being up here, she can play that at my funeral. We've got that recorded. Whew. Well, good morning, everybody. In light of everything happening here at Cloverdale, buildings being opened back up, it actually wasn't planned this way, but I did a sermon for school, turned it in, and talked with Pastor Allen, and thought December 14th sounded good. Just so happened to be the day that we got back in. It's not the 400 block anymore. Whatever the building's called over there, our new buildings. So you'll see how that ties into what we're going to talk about. This morning, we will be in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Nehemiah 8, verses 1 through 12. As you're turning there, I want to begin with a question. When we gather each week, how and why should we meet? Is what we do here on Sunday just random, or is it done with a purpose? Well, today's text gives us a clear example of how and why. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 12 lays out an outline of four examples that we can follow today. And it is 12 verses, so y'all follow along with me, and please do not get caught up in the names. Just read through and we'll get through it. Read with me starting in verse 1. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, that's the end of chapter 7, verse 1, all the people gathered together at the square in front of the water gate. They asked the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had given Israel. On the first day of the seventh month, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. I still hear pages, so we're verse 3. While he was facing the square in front of the water gate, he read out of it from daybreak until noon before the men, the women, and those who could understand. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Verse 4. The scribe Ezra stood on a high wooden platform made for this purpose. Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah stood beside him on his right. To his left were Padiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashum, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Verse 5, Ezra opened the book in full view of all the people, since he was elevated above everyone. As he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and with their hands uplifted, all the people said, Amen, Amen. Then they knelt low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akab, Shabbathiah, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalida, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah, who were Levites, explained the law to the people as they stood in their places. They read out of the book of the law of God, translating and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was read. Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go and eat what is rich, drink what is sweet, and send portions to those who have nothing prepared, since today is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites quieted all the people, saying, Be still, since today is holy. Don't grieve. Then all the people began to eat and drink, send portions, and have a great celebration, because they had understood the words that were explained to them. Let's pray. Lord, we come today as your gathered people, asking that you bless this time that we have together this morning. Lord, help us see the truth from your scripture. Help us be attentive to what your word says and understand it so that we may apply it to our lives. Thank you for bringing us here today. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, before we get started, I know it was a lot of text. But when we get through it, you'll understand where I'm going with everything. Before we get into everything, I want to give you a little bit of background, some context. For those of you that attend Sunday school, we have just been through Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We saw how God rescued, protected, fed, organized, and even dwelt with his people. Our final Sunday school lesson in that series ended with Moses looking out over the promised land, but he was unable to enter it. Moses died, and Joshua took the promised land God promised his people. God's people were then disobedient and later abandoned God by worshiping idols. It's important to remember the last book in the last verse in the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. How did that work for him? Continuing on, Israel would get their kings, but Jerusalem would later be destroyed, forcing the Jews into exile to Babylon. Around 50 years later, Babylon is overthrown, and the Jews were able to start returning back to Jerusalem. And they did this in what looks like three stages. The first return was led by Zerubbabel. The people that returned with him worked on rebuilding the temple and faced opposition while doing so. But we see in Ezra 6, the temple was completed to God with joy. Second return was led by Ezra around 80 years after the first return. The Bible describes Ezra as a scribe and a priest dedicated to God's word. Finally, we see in Nehemiah 1 that Nehemiah himself hears that the people in Jerusalem are in great distress and that the city's walls are broken down and gates burned with fire. It's Nehemiah 1:3. Chapter 1, verse 4 says that when I heard these words, I sat down and wept. I mourned for a number of days, fasting and praying before the God of heavens. Nehemiah went to God in prayer before he did anything. In chapter 2, he asked the king to let him go to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. The king allows it and provides assistance and materials that are needed in order to complete the project. So Nehemiah sets off to Jerusalem to begin his task. After being there 3 days, he inspected the city wall. Work begins soon after. In the next few chapters, in Nehemiah show the people's commitment to the project, even when discouragement and fear crept in. If you go through and read, you'll see that they were working with a sword in one hand, working with their other hand. Nehemiah was a great leader. He was a man of prayer and careful planning. At the end of chapter 6, we see that the wall was completed in only 52 days. The work on the wall was now finished. The structure was rebuilt and revived. But what about the people? This is where we will begin today. Look again at Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. All the people gathered together at the square in front of the water gate. They asked the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had given Israel. On the first day of the seventh month, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. So, remember, I told you that this text will lay an outline of 4 examples that we can follow today. Our first example in verse 1 is, or is in verse 1, and it is this. Write it down. The people gather. The people gather. We must come and gather together. Let's look at it again. Put your eyes on verse 1. All the people gathered together at the square in front of the water gate. This must have been a really big space. If you go back and look at how many people came, they asked the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had given Israel. On the first day of the seventh month, The priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. So you've probably already figured this out, but I want you to take notice of how many times we're going to hear all the people throughout these 12 verses. Look back at the beginning of verse 1 again. All the people did what? Gathered together. How many of you would like to come here when attendance is low? How many adults would like to sit in the Sunday school room where there's nobody there? There's no discussion to be had. This can even apply to a church work day where only a few people do all the work. A great example could be how small our Wednesday night is. That's a faithful group that comes. That's a small group. Our walls here are strong at Cloverdale, but where are all the people? All the people gathered together at the square in front of the water gate. But look at this. They asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had given Israel. We've been through it at Cloverdale. The people have been through it here. They put the work in rebuilding their walls, and now what do they want? What do they want? They want the book. They came and gathered for a purpose on this day. It wasn't for fun. It wasn't for games. It wasn't to have a rock concert on stage. It wasn't just a social gathering with friends where you can catch up. They wanted their spiritual leader to bring out what was most important. So what did Ezra do? Ezra gave them what they wanted. Look at verse 2. On the first day of the seventh month, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. One commentator said it this way, referring to Ezra, God gave him the ability and the authority. And then the people gave him the opportunity and the invitation. The people wanted it, and Ezra was ready to give it. So what does this have to do with us? What does any of this have to do with us? Well, a few things. We should gather. We should be here anytime the doors are open. If there's a chance to be together and do ministry, we need to be here. The quality time spent together in unity serving our God, who we say we believe in, is unlike anything else. In any relationship, how sweet is it to have unity? But we shouldn't just gather. We should gather for the book. Teachers, study your lesson and be ready to deliver it. Give them something from God's word that they can take and they can apply during the week. But you know what that means for the rest of us? The rest of us need to show up to be taught. You know how discouraging it is to have someone prep all week and nobody come to it. This message that God's given them to relay to somebody else, and they just got to hold it in their heart. Can't do that. We should look forward to God's word together. Let's look at our second example, which is the word is read. If we want to be people of the book, the word must be read. Look at verses 3-6 with me. While he was facing the square in front of the water gate, he read out of it from daybreak until noon before the men, the women, and those who could understand. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law. The scribe Ezra stood on a high wooden platform made for this purpose. These names listed were on his right, and these other names were to his left. Ezra opened the book in full view of all the people, since he was elevated above everyone. As he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and with their hands uplifted, all the people said, "Amen, amen." Jeremy, I couldn't help but think of you when you sing, when I read that. Then they knelt low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The people gathered. They wanted Ezra to bring out the book. Ezra was obedient, and it says in verse 3 that he read out of it from daybreak until noon. I'm not going to do that. I don't have that in me. I wish I did. But raise your hand if you're up for that next Sunday. Pastor Allen's back. It's going to be a great time. We're going to open God's word. Pastor Allen goes on at least an hour every week. We talk about it in staff meeting. Hey, it's an hour and 6 minutes. Some of us think we're going to starve. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Peyton, I can hear your stomach growling from up here right now. I told him I was going to say that. Look again at verse 3. He read out of it from daybreak until noon before the men, the women, and those who could understand. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Notice what it says at the end of verse 3. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law. So what does it mean to listen attentively? It means they paid close attention to what was read. Like you, these believers were hungry too. But their hunger was for the meaning of God's word. They wanted this man to bring out the book. Let's keep going. Look at verses 4-6. The scribe Ezra stood on a high wooden platform made for this purpose. These names were to his right. To his left were these names. And Ezra opened the book in full view of all the people, since he was elevated above everyone. As he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and with their hands uplifted, all the people said, Amen. Amen. Then they knelt low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. All right, now let's just, I'm a very visual person in my head. I'm in my head all the time. Let's make a picture of this. Picture Ezra on this platform above the people. You got 6 over here, 7 over here. I mean, what a sight this must have been. In some of your translations, it might, you know, it'll say tower. Half these names I can't pronounce, but 6 to his right and 7 to his left. Verse 5 says that Ezra opened the book in full view of all the people, since he was elevated above everyone. As he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and with their hands uplifted, all the people said, Amen, amen. Then they knelt low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You know, oftentimes we skip over the Old Testament, not thinking that some of the stuff we do in here on a regular Sunday is, you know, how do we have an example from the Old Testament by the things we do on Sundays? This is a pretty clear one right here. A lot of the stuff, we can't disregard it just because it's Old Testament. But this was a big deal to them, wasn't it? What was taking place was what they asked for. The book was in full view of all the people. I mean, imagine if you came in here next Sunday, Pastor Allen had this closed, it was put away, there's no pulpit, there's no podium, and he's just standing here talking. I bet Pastor Allen has it in him to be able to preach that way. But what are we putting off? If we're people of the book, should we not have it in front of us? We have our phones now, we can carry that, we can look at it. But when we meet in our classrooms, I'm going to encourage you, have a book open. The book was in full view of all the people. Look at the reverence here in verse 5. Ezra opened the book in full view of all the people. As he opened it, all the people stood up. I actually wondered why people, I understand why we do that. There's some churches that do that. There's some that don't. I didn't even think until we got into this text of that. So there's an example right there. And then in verse 6, it says, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and with their hands uplifted, all the people said, Amen, amen. Then they knelt low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So, now I ask you, what is your response to Scripture? yawning, sleepiness, or worship. We should honor God by being attentive to the preaching of his word and worshiping him sincerely. Verses 7 and 8. Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathiah, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalida, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah. Don't let that mess you up from what we're reading. Who were Levites, explained the law to the people as they stood in their places. They read out of the book of the law of God, translating and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was read. So if our last example was the word is read, what do you think this one's going to be? The word is explained. If we want to be people of the book, the word must be explained. So this is such an amazing two verses. Look at verse 7 again. It says they explained the law to the people as they stood in their places. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a second. I actually don't have this in my notes. As they stood in their places. I don't know if it's the people standing or if it's the Levites. Either way, with our six-hour sermon we're having next Sunday, y'all be ready to stand the whole time. We'll have 6 to 7 people up here, no microphones, and we're going to proclaim it out. It was important to them, though. They read out of the book of the law of God, translating and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was read. Now think back to the last set of verses we read. Reading the law led to worship. But the Levites went even further. They explained the law to the people. They read it and gave meaning so the people could understand. You guys imagine if we just had, everybody was lost. We had just nothing but visitors. And we just got up here and read these passages and just went and sat down. They're going to be stuck on those names. When we come in here, I mean, it's a prime example of what really Pastor Allen does every Sunday. We gather together. Pastor Allen begins in a text. He reads it to you. He walks you through it verse by verse, explaining what the text says so you can walk away with an understanding. Kind of what I'm trying to do up here today. Anybody's wondering why we do it that way? Here's a great example in Nehemiah for expository preaching. How many people in attendance today teach a class here at Cloverdale? Raise your hand. You got to raise them high. Ansley, why is your hand like that? Okay. Thank you for what you do, but listen to me. We should seek to read and explain the scripture today to believers, young and old, with understanding. Those that don't teach, you should come with open ears ready to hear and understand what our leaders are communicating to you from God's word. So the word is explained, or the word is read, the word is explained, but what happens next is our fourth and final example. So go ahead and write this down. The people understand and respond. So to recap, our four examples today are this. The people gather. The word is read. The word is explained. And finally, the people understand and respond. Look at the last four verses with me. There's no names in this one. Hard names. Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law." Then he said to them, "Go and eat what is rich, drink what is sweet, and send portions to those who have nothing prepared, since today is holy to your Lord. Do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength." And the Levites quieted all of the people, saying, "Be still, since today is holy. Do not grieve." Then all the people began to eat and drink, send portions, and have a great celebration, because they understood the words that were explained to them. So, Here we see people, the people, respond. But what's interesting is they actually respond in two ways. Did you guys catch that? They first responded by weeping. Look back at verse 9. Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." Why would they say that? "For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law." God's word really has a way of breaking into our very being, doesn't it? If you're taking notes, write this verse down. It's Hebrews 4:12. You don't have to turn there. We'll be right back in Nehemiah. "For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The people understood that their lives did not line up with the law of Moses, and they responded with grief and weeping, but they didn't stay that way. The next two verses reveal that they were told not to grieve. Look at verse 10. "Then he said to them, 'Go and eat what is rich, drink what is sweet, and send portions to those who have nothing prepared, since today is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength.' And the Levites quieted all the people, saying, 'Be still, since today is holy.'" Don't grieve. Do the things listed in verse 10 sound like something someone who is grieving would go and do? But yet we are told that the Levites calmed the people and reminded them the day is holy. The Levites calmed them and refocused the people on God instead of themselves. Then what happens? Verse 12 says, "Then all the people begin to eat and drink, send portions, and have a great celebration, because they understood the words that were explained to them." So their second response, remember the first one was weeping. Second response is one of celebration. Look at verse 12 again. "Then all the people begin to eat and drink, send portions, and have a great celebration, because they had understood the words that were explained to them." But why were they celebrating? Look how beautiful this is and how it ends. They were celebrating, verse 12, because they understood the words that were explained to them. How many of you have ever been in a conversation with someone and they said something and you have no idea what they said? I'm looking for Cooper. Cooper's not here. Every time Cooper speaks to me in the youth group, I have no idea what he says. And so I lean in awkwardly and slowly. What'd you say? Not only do they attempt to repeat themselves, but I fail to hear them again. And I apologize, and I ask, "Cooper, can you say it one more time?" Finally, I hear him. It's the same as what we're looking at. The desire here is to understand and respond appropriately. Christians, this is what we must do when our pastor or leaders bring us a word. We should seek to understand and respond appropriately to the message of God's word. Like the people in Ezra's time, sometimes that means we respond in tears, broken over our sin. Other times in celebration, praising God for who he is and what he's done. In closing, I ask now, what does all this look like for us? We're at a special moment in history at Cloverdale. We have so much to celebrate here. Y'all, we have baptisms, new members, a recent ordination. Our buildings have been overhauled and they're opened back up. What are we going to do with them? Everyone in here, from young adult to senior adult, has their glory days of a church stored up in their head. I say this because I too have that. I grew up at Heritage Baptist Church on the other side of town, and as a kid, there, you know, everything we did, we thought was perfect. Place was filled. Whether that's here or somewhere else. I'm here to tell you today that as long as a man stands in this pulpit and reads the text, explains the text, and the people apply the text, then this church's glory days are still here. I want all of us, including me, to purge ourselves of anything you think has been lost here at Cloverdale. We need to quit living in the past and be present for what God is doing in the life of this church right now. It's not enough to come here and go through the motions. We ought to come in here united as one, excited to hear God's word preached, entering with an attitude of joy, ready to receive and apply everything that was explained to us from the passage. This is how we meet, and this is why we meet. The worship of God and the proclamation of his word. So, my prayer today is that Cloverdale is a church that stands together and says, Pastor, bring out the book. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning just for everything you've done for our church. Lord, for the people, for the campus, for the buildings, for the rooms. God, you have been faithful throughout all of this, even when we haven't. God, I ask that you stir us up, Lord. You make today a new day. You make everything that we do here, God, about you. God, we pray that your presence does not leave this place, but that you lead, guide, and direct every single move that we make, every decision. God, I pray for those whose hearts may not be all the way in, God, that you would just stir them up, you would change them. You would get them to see the vision that we have, Lord, and you, Lord, just let them fall in line. God, that means that we also should be willing to accept them in, God, and just put it in us to get to work. We have the space. The buildings are open. God, make us a people that will fill this place up with believers. God, let us be your hands and feet as we move into this community. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.